Blog Talk Radio.
In Los Angeles, and you're listening to the Ray Starman Show. On an extended 45-minute broadcast today, slowly working our way up to 1 and 2 hour broadcast segments. I'm Ray Starman, the host. I'm also the editor of USDefenseWatch.com, a relatively new website that covers U.S. defense issues and politics with a politically incorrect twist. Check us out at USDefenseWatch.com. The subject of today's show is called The End of the Beginning, The Race to the White House. You know, people that study history remember one of Winston Churchill's many eloquent statements from World War II, when after the Battle of the Second El Alamein, November 1942, after the British finally got their act together and somehow defeated Erwin Rommel in the Afrika Korps, Churchill spoke to the British people and said, "Now this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning." And perhaps the same can be said of the opening salvos of the 2016 presidential election. We've watched numerous debates on both sides filled with candidates grandiose and some not very grandiose. And gradually the field is being thinned. And on February 1st, 2016, the games truly begin at the Iowa caucuses. I'm going to take a look at each candidate, both sides, Democrat, Republican, and some from both sides that would probably perhaps like to be independents, but probably never will be. Analyze each candidate. And then on the latter part of the show, we'll have a news update focusing on the continued fiasco on the high seas last week in the Persian Gulf with the surrender of two U.S. Navy Riverine craft and their crews to the Iranians, the disgraceful apology by the lieutenant in command, and the subsequent and even more disgraceful thank you from John Kerry, who, after groveling to the Iranians again, got on his $5,000 Trek road bike and pedaled from Saudi Arabia all the way back to Europe. It's about all Kerry's good for is getting on his road bike and pedaling around. Well, I guess he's not even really good at that, because didn't he fall and break his leg or something about a year ago? He was hobbling around. That was during the negotiation phase for this Iranian nuclear deal, which is a fiasco, which does everything for the Iranians and nothing for the United States and Israel. But we'll talk about that later. And I'm going to take a quick break here. As we fade out, I'm going to play for you the Democrat Party theme song of the 2016 campaign. I'll be right back in less than a minute. And to those who have seen the movie many times, like yours truly, are familiar with that. That's the theme, from Russia with Love. Probably the best and most realistic James Bond movie. From Russia with Love, folks. The Democrat Party theme song in 2016. Why is it that the Democrats can never find a hawk on national security? Oh, Hillary, we'll talk about this. In a, she thinks she's a hawk. She's no more a hawk than she is an egg or a rooster. I mean, she's just, well, let's start with the man who represents, though I call him the man from Leningrad, Red Storm Rising. That would be a good model for his candidacy, Red Storm Rising. Comrade Bernie Sanders. You know, Sanders, in a lot of ways, there is some things to admire him. I admire him from the standpoint that he's honest. He's like the uncle, the mad uncle that you have at the adults table on Thanksgiving. Just after he has a couple more glasses of wine, the tryptophan and the turkey hits him a little bit. He makes a couple crazy statements. You shove him over to the kids table so you don't have to listen to him anymore. But he is honest for the most part, as a politician can be. He does mean what he says. Sanders is very good at identifying what the problems are. The problem with his identifying of the problems is that his campaign platform is something out of the Erich Honecker East German handbook. You know, Sanders is a guy who went on his honeymoon during the height of the Cold War to Russia. East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Poland, the other Comintern, Warsaw Pact nations weren't good enough. Had to go right into the heart of the enemy. So, you know, Sanders has been on the side of being a socialist. He is a self-proclaimed socialist all along, for years. For years. And you know, they would have him on the news shows. And, you know, he would even be on Fox News. And people would listen to what he had to say, but nobody really took him seriously. And then all of a sudden now in this race, he is being taken very seriously. He's closing in on Madame Secretary for a million reasons. Sanders is really a voice of two generations. He's the voice of the millennial generations. And he's the voice of the freeze-dried 60s hippie generation. Sanders is appealing to those two extreme age groups, the baby boomers and the millennials. Generation X, the latter baby boomers, and Generation Y, which is really sort of in between the baby, or Generation X and the millennials, people born in the 80s, they really don't want to have much to do with Sanders. But the millennials do. One of Sanders' keynotes on his platform is free college. Now, I can understand why a lot of college kids like Bernie Sanders. He's offering them, he's telling them he's going to give them free college. College is out of control, the prices. You can't go anywhere anymore, except maybe community college, without being in debt forever. Or at least until you get a good job to pay it off, which is tough. So these college kids now, they see this guy coming along, saying, you know, he's going to give them free college. You know, they're in debt. 20, 30 grand, maybe more. And that's just for undergraduate. And they like what they see, but they're not really analyzing it completely. Sanders, of course, wants the single-payer health care, Medicare for everybody, just like Europe. Some of the socialist countries in Europe, which are coming undone now, but for a very different reason. He has a lot of the same platform ideas is a lot of these socialist countries in Northern Europe, you know, extended pregnancy leave, maternity leave, family leave. And, you know, there's so many leaves that people would be taking while they're at work that nobody would ever get anything done. So we'd become like the Greeks or the French, where we work about 20 hours per week while everybody's on leave for something. I broke my finger yesterday. Well, you got to go on leave. Got to go on leave. He's promising in a nutshell. And this is really why the younger generation likes him. A lot of free stuff. But and the older generation like him from the 60s because he represents the last great revolution. Okay? Vinyl records are coming back. You got this old guy running around talking about a revolution in the streets. I mean, it's almost like the 60s are reborn. All you need is Goldie Hawn dancing on Laughing with the little road signs painted all over her body. Maybe she should be the one of the spokesmen for his campaign. He'd probably get even more votes. So two sides to it, millennials and the freeze-dried hippies. But Sanders is promising a lot of free stuff. You know, if you analyze his policies, you'd realize that if they were implemented, he'd probably double the U.S. debt, probably crash the economy if we implemented everything he wants. Now, on the other side of the coin, you may be able to pay for some of it because Sanders would probably pull us out for some of our worldwide commitments. His idea of fighting ISIS is very vague. We're going to, you know, just keep bombing them. No U.S. ground force. Let the Arabs do it, or excuse me, the Muslims. They don't want to do it. Nobody wants to do anything if the United States of America doesn't take charge. The Europeans don't want to do anything. The Muslim nations that are decent in the Middle East, like Jordan, they don't want to do anything if we're not doing anything. Unless the United States leads, nobody gets off their butts. Nobody. And that's the problem. So Sanders' strategy to deal with ISIS isn't exactly coherent. Okay, he'd probably continue the 5 o'clock Charlie air campaign where, you know, we've got two guys that fly over in World War I biplanes that drop one wooden bomb on ISIS. Even though El Presidente Obama says we've launched 10,000 sorties. Yes, over a year and a half, which equals 15 sorties a day. 75% of them get called back because of worries over collateral and environmental damage. And so we end up dropping three bombs on them a day. Three bombs a day doesn't keep ISIS away, as I've said. So Sanders dealing with Iran, his other foreign policy, committing. Sanders does not want to commit U.S. forces anywhere. Well, nobody does. But he keeps talking to him. It's a 60s parlance. Our kids. I'm not sending our kids anywhere. You know, he's not deploying, if he's president, the Boy Scouts. I hate to think that the guys of the Navy SEALs and the Green Berets the Marines, thinking of themselves as kids. So Bernie, if you're listening out there, please stop calling the U.S. military our kids. You know, you sound like you're at some kind of rally with Abby Hoffman on the Chicago lakefront while waiting for the Democratic convention to open August 68, because it's July, I can't remember. We come back on the Ray Starman Show. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll talk about the rest of the Democrat candidates. We'll be right back. The Ray Starman Show is brought to you by Steve Barton's News Alert, the total link site for the news and information junkie. Libertarianism, property rights, government corruption, the Chicago mob, struggle against socialism, a.k.a. Bernie Sanders, Obama, Chicago Democrat machine, the gun control monopolists, the Ron Paul revolution, and higher education ripoffs. Check out Steve Barton's News Alert. That's nalert.blogspot.com. And don't let that URL fool you. Steve is well known. He's has had millions and millions of people on his site since he started about a decade ago. He's often linked on Drudge or Lou Rockwell or PJ Media Instapundit, among others, and Alex Jones. Check out Steve Barton's News Alert. Just Google it, Yahoo it, Bing it, whatever. Steve Barton's News Alert. We're back on the Ray Starman Show. We have a little bit over a half hour on this extended broadcast today. We're going to be moving into more and more larger time frames as the week continues. I often find myself covering about 10% of what I want to talk about. Let's look at the other Democrats. We talked about Sanders. We kicked him around pretty much. Like I said, I do have respect for him because he is honest and he says what he feels. And honestly, if a President Trump wins or a Cruz, you might want to just have a seat for Bernie somewhere in the Oval Office. It's when everybody's saying one thing, maybe Bernie has a solution on the other side of the coin. And I respect him. I don't respect Madame Secretary. I talked in length about the crimes and lies of Hillary Clinton yesterday. You can check out the show from yesterday called The Trouble with Hillary. It's archived on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to my page. And Hillary struts around like she's some kind of princess waiting to be anointed queen of some Middle Earth fantasy land that she lives in. She's not only a liar, she's a criminal, she's delusional, and most importantly, she's incompetent. As we talked about this national security crisis with these emails. She's doing business as the Secretary of State, sending out classified emails that she ordered her staff to change the classification on, which is a felony. That's why she always says, I didn't send anything that was classified at the time. Oh, it was classified. You just had Huma. And the rest of your aides, Hillary, at the State Department, probably had Rear Admiral Kirby in a room with 20 people instructing them with little plastic scissors how to cut off the classification before you scanned it and sent it as an email. You're not a declassification authority. Felony. You know, Judge Wapner would convict you in probably about less than a minute. Think about this, folks. The main Democrat candidate is being investigated for felony and misdemeanor national security crimes by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. There's over 100 agents on this now. And these guys don't screw around. They're straight arrows. They just want to do right for the country. They're about the most patriotic guys around. And they're going to get to the bottom of it. And the whole thing was a cover-up with the server in the bathroom of this Rocky Mountain computer company run by a couple hipsters who had no clue. Sure, put the server in the bathroom. We're going to go skiing and then, you know, whatever, at the end of the day. They had no clue. It was all cover up because of all the money being filtered in from donors to the Clinton Foundation to Bill and Hillary and Chelsea. I guess Chelsea is a political pundit now. Good luck to you, Chelsea. Good luck, because you're going to have a lot to defend here, because your mother's a criminal. I'll say it again. She's a criminal. She's been a criminal since, well, probably all the way back to the 70s. You know, the cover ups you know, read the article on USDefenseWatch.com, The Trouble with Hillary. Listen to the show from yesterday. And Hillary, you know, she tries to come across as some kind of knowledgeable hawk on national defense. She was a disastrous Secretary of State. Her and Obama cooked up the plot. They got rid of Mubarak in Egypt. We're going to usher in the Muslim Brotherhood. We're all going to live in harmony in the Middle East and sing Kumbaya in Egypt. Yeah. Libya, the same thing. Get rid of Colonel Gaddafi, even though he's coming over to the West. You know, Muslim Brotherhood or whoever's going to take over, we're all going to sing Kumbaya. You know, maybe play some Peter, Paul, and Mary records that are for sale again. Unfortunately, it doesn't work out that way because the Middle East is not the Commonwealth of Virginia. The only thing I understand is a Saddam, a Mubarak, a Gaddafi, a thug in charge that unless you shut up and do your job and just knuckle under, you get in trouble. But that's all that they understand. And now we have this power vacuum. It's chaos. And hence ISIS was born. And it's just a disaster. If you want to call into the Ray Starman Show, my phone number is 602-753-1576. My phone number is 602-753-1576. And now you've got this new movie released, 13 Hours, about Benghazi, which shows Hillary at the height of her incompetence. Stand down. Lessen security. Don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen. These guys are attacking the consulate or the embassy because of a movie. One lie after another. Lie, 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 lie. She is a congenital liar. Frankly, I don't know how anybody who's on the left wing can even support her. I can understand the Bernie Sanders support, but I can't understand the support for Hillary. Let's take a look at Martin O'Malley. He's basically just another Yankee Democrat. Governor of Maryland now, was the mayor of Baltimore. Big gun control guy. If he and Obama could work it out, we'd have no guns in this country. It'd be like the UK or Australia where you go to jail if you're trying to fight somebody off with a butter knife. Complete nanny state. Run by overweight women in Birkenstocks. And that's the kind of fantasy world O'Malley lives in. But it doesn't really matter because he's going nowhere in the election. I don't even know what he's doing up there. You know, he's just another guy who can fill a podium space. Gun control. So, well, Sanders claims he's he actually comes across a little bit more conservative on gun control. I mean, he's not in the Charlton Heston NRA range. Okay. But a guy who is in the Democrat Party, who's apparently still running for president, who is conservative on guns, is James Webb. And I've often asked myself many times, what is James Webb doing in the Democrat Party? I know he was frustrated, Jimmy. I know you were frustrated after what happened with Iraq and Bush and Cheney. But did you really need to go that far? I mean, look who you're standing next to at these debates. Well, he wasn't in the last one. I think he might run as an independent. But, you know, it reminds me of Webb's campaign. He's sort of like, you know, John Rambo hiding out in the Cascades, waiting for Richard Crenna to come in from the RNC headquarters and rescue him.
To identify Baker team, Rambo, Mesner, Ortega, Coletta, Jorgensen, Danforth, Barry, Krakauer.
You know, it's just the campaign is literally in hiding in the Cascades. And maybe if he was still alive, the great actor Richard Crenna could come in and rescue Webb in this campaign and bring him back to the Republican Party. But even if he was brought back now, just bring him back. Maybe he can run again. James Webb is a hero from the Vietnam War. Won the Navy Cross, Silver Star, Bronze Star, Purple Heart. He's got enough medals for a whole battalion. And he wrote the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, Fields of Fire, which is a big bestseller in the 80s. If you're interested in the Vietnam War and you haven't read that, check it out. That and Matterhorn are great novels of the Vietnam War, which were based on the author's actual experience. Really like a nonfiction novel. Webb needs to be back with the RNC. And we're going to take a quick station break. When I come back, we'll talk about the Republican candidates on the Ray Starman Show. And I'll be right back. On the Ray Starman Show, we've got about 20 minutes left to talk about the GOP candidates. I believe at this moment there's what, a couple hundred still floating around out there? Lindsey Graham did drop out, so there's one extra space. We don't need anybody else in there to fill it. There's already enough personalities. And let's look at the current Rasmussen poll. I think a couple days ago, the GOP Republican candidates. Trump is running at 34.5% nationwide. Ted Cruz is at 19%, and Marco Rubio is about 12%. Those are the top three. Everybody else is fighting for the table scraps of the polls. Let's start here with Jeb. You know, I've written a few articles on USDefenseWatch.com about Jeb. Jeb's a likable guy. He's competent. He did a good job as the governor of Florida. He's a smart guy, but he's not a man for the times. Guy who you would have voted for president in the 50s, you know, the men in the gray flannel suits who saw so much death in World War II would just wanted somebody like Jeb, somebody quiet. Just go and do the job, the people's work, and we don't want to think about it. And that's why they got Ike. And maybe after Nixon left office in August of 74, if Jeb had been older at the time, he would have been fine. I mean, like a Gerald Ford, just sign the checks, sign the documents, take some photo opportunities. have a few press conferences. Just do your job. But that's not what the world, the United States, is looking for. That's why Sanders is popular. That's why Trump is leading. They don't want, the country doesn't want these establishment idiots. You know, Jeb has a lot of money behind him. You know, he's got Mommy and Pappy Bush, and you know, some of these big super PAC contributors. He's got a lot of money. But he hasn't figured out yet, you know, that he really doesn't have a chance. He's still, you know, in there scrapping it, probably because his parents are telling him that they've put a lot of money into it, you know. It's sort of like, my God, man, I'm paying $50,000 a year here at Harvard. You can't drop out. But Dad, I want to go to the University of Massachusetts. You know, Jeb Bush. What happens is somebody just needs to get through to him, you know. Mr. Jeb Bush, paging Mr. Jeb Bush, will you pick up the red phone in the grill room at the club? You know, it's almost like there needs to be some kind of prep school intervention. You know, you get Chip and Bink, maybe Muffy and Buffy. They all sit down with them and just say, look, old boy, fold it up. And Jeb says, anyway, I got a lot of stuff to do. Well, good. You know, he can sit there with his coin collection and watch Coin Vault every night. Play golf. A little round-robin tennis at the club, old boy. All right, let's move on from Jeb. Smart and competent, no chance. Carly, tough lady. She got axed at HP. But, you know, a lot of the things that she did there at HP are starting to bear fruit. HP's got some good computers. The HP Stream. It's a good little computer. I'm not running a commercial for HP. But if your funds are limited and you want a computer, get the HP Stream. I'm running the show right now on an HP laptop, a bigger one. She's a smart lady. She could use a little sense of humor. She needs to watch some of Jack Kennedy's old press conferences. She looks like she's wired so tight she's going to, you know, self-destruct. But a smart lady, once again, no chance. Maybe somebody's vice presidential candidate. Doubtful. You know, Rand is still around. But he didn't go to the last debate. He's sort of a Ron Paul light. Rand really isn't the true libertarian that his dad is. He doesn't really have the followers that his dad has. His dad is basically Ben Franklin of the 21st century. Rand, you know, why he says the libertarian, but then he's, you know, hanging out with the bluegrass crowd at the club, and he's a little bit, you know, more Fox Newsy. He just in his international views are just too isolationist when you have the madman of ISIS looting the planet. Good guy, though. You know, there's a lot of good people, but there's a lot of good people that just don't have a chance. You know, let's look at Dr. Cool. Carson sort of peaked. He's going nowhere now. He's a smart guy. He's done well for himself. A little too cool, maybe, to be president. You know, you want to be cool, but you don't want to look like you, you know, just smoked 8 bags of pot before the debate started, you know. But he'd be the type of guy you could put in his run the VA, which needs a lot of help. You know, it really does. The VA could use a lot of help. How about Chris Christie? He's a smart guy, prosecutor. Governor of New Jersey, maybe a little bit too New Jersey-ish for the rest of the country. It looks like a character from, you know, The Sopranos. You could have an episode where Christie loses the race as governor, can't get his old job back, starts working for Tony Soprano, and he works on this little scheme with Paulie Walnuts where they figure they're going to start stealing books from libraries in Jersey and reselling the books on Amazon with Christopher. A little bit too – he just looks like a guy who would be on The Sopranos, you know. And I'm not bashing Italian-Americans. I'm part Italian myself. But maybe that's why I can't bash them. And some of the stereotype is true. But he's a smart guy. Doesn't have a chance, really. Certainly, if Chris Christie was the president of the United States, we'd be in good hands. We definitely would be. Let's take a look at Kasich. You know, he's a strange guy. He was a pretty good governor. But he has an annoying personality. He kind of reminds me as you put like a frog in a blender, just the way he's moving his arms up and down all the time. I don't know what his problem is. He's just very annoying. I wouldn't say he's a jerk. He seems like a nice enough guy, but, I mean, can you imagine 4 years with Kasich as president? You know, the guy needs a Valium or something. He really does. Let's take a look at a couple more people here. Rubio. You know, Rubio is number three right now. And he certainly could be he's not going to win, but he could be the VP candidate to get the Hispanic vote. And he could take Florida, a lot of electoral votes there. A lot of electoral votes. He just looks like a guy who's running for the president of the student body of, you know, Miami Beach High School rather than the president of the United States. He looks like he's about 17 years old. And I think that takes away from it. He just looks he is young. But he looks young. He doesn't look like he's had anything to temper him or mature him. He looks like he stepped out of a high school yearbook and found himself on stage, and now he's running for this office. And let's take a look at the last two, Ted Cruz. Cruz, I call him Count Chocula Cruz. He does look like Count Chocula. He really does, especially if you give him a little cape, just the hair and the nose, the eyes. Cruz is running almost 20%, 19.3% right now. Latest Rasmussen poll. Cruz, very conservative from Texas. A lot of electoral votes, but Texas is going to go Republican anyway. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what happens. Count Chocula could get that Hispanic vote too. So he's also another contender for Trump's VP. Although Trump and Cruz have been throwing barbs at each other last week, but that's probably just standard campaign stuff. Trump says that Cruz isn't very likable. It's possible. Trump's a pretty good read of character. Trump does a lot of things wrong, does a lot of things right, but he does seem to be able to read people's character. Let's talk about Trump. I call him the man with the Daniel Boone hair. I guess it is real, but he does. He looks like he's Daniel Boone. You know what the coonskin cap? It just sort of looks like there's an animal on his head. Trump is going to get the nomination, even though the old school, the old guard, the GOP, you know, led by the George Wills of the world, don't want him to be there. Even Charles Krauthammer's come along on Fox News, pretty much backing Trump. Trump is basically says his key to his success. He says everything Americans are afraid to say, and we're afraid to do a lot of things these days. And then if this guy comes along, he's a billionaire, he's flamboyant, he's got this orange Daniel Boone hair, and he says these politically incorrect things that everybody else is thinking. And I'm telling you right now, Trump may go all the way, because you don't know what's going to happen with Madame Secretary. You know, she could be indicted. Then maybe who are they going to bring in? It was Sanders going to end up being the nominee. It'll be like 72 with McGovern against Nixon. It'll be worse than 72. I mean, McGovern looks like Barry Goldwater compared to Sanders. That was a blowout in 72, of course. We get back on the Ray Starman Show after this quick break. We'll talk about the disaster on the high seas last week with our Navy, which is turning into McHale's Navy. But even McHale's Navy won the war. I'll take Kim Conway and Ernest Borgnine over what's going on. We'll be back on the Ray Starman Show. The Ray Starman Show is brought to you by Gary Owen Ventures, a new hybrid consulting firm offering a unique combination of legal, transactional, and operational expertise to support technology businesses and private equity investors, providing practical, versatile, and relevant solutions to enable growth at reasonable prices, offering leadership perspective and vision that comes only from a diverse range of unique backgrounds and experiences. Check out GaryOwenVentures.com. That's GarryOwen Ventures.com. Gary Owen Ventures. Yes, that was the McHale's Navy theme song, sort of the Obama's Navy theme song. But you know what? Like I said before, just before that break, the guys in McHale's Navy won the war. I'm very worried about the U.S. military, and I think that what happened last week on the high seas in the Persian Gulf speaks volumes about the current state of the United States military and Navy, which is being systematically destroyed by the Obama administration and its henchmen, Ash Carter, Ray Mabus, Secretary of the Navy, Eric K. Fanning, Secretary of the Army. Just to rehash the story, and I've been talking about this on and off on my show and my website. They have two U.S. Navy Riverine craft on the way from Bahrain to Kuwait. They're looking for a refueling boat. Apparently, the first story was one of the boats broke down, but that didn't hold up because they could tow the other boat. Then there was a navigational error. 2016, we're supposed to believe that two U.S. Navy vessels of war are going to have a simultaneous meltdown of GPS, radar, and everything else they have on there. We're supposed to believe that one, and that the Easter Bunny exists and the Tooth Fairy. Whatever happened, maybe the Iranians just surprised them. But the boats that the Iranians had were smaller than the U.S. Navy Riverine craft. They've got 50 caliber machine guns on there, folks. 50 caliber machine gun could shoot down a plane. What the heck was Lieutenant David Nartger thinking? He was the commander, the officer in charge of the two boats and the crews. Who told him? Did he surrender on his own will? Or did somebody else tell him? Some feather merchant idiot at Naval Command in the Middle East or higher? Did this go all the way to the Obama White House? Did Valerie Jarrett tell him to surrender? What Nartger did is a violation of the Military Code of Conduct, Article 2. Which is basically, I will never surrender my own free will. I will never surrender my men while I have the means to resist. Okay. Some people might think maybe the guy was so overwhelmed he had no choice. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. But let's take what happened after that. So they haul these guys in. They're making complete fools of us. The Iranians are very good at making fools of us. They've been making fools of us since the 70s. I've never seen a nation that honestly deserved more to be B-52 than Iran. I don't know. They're pretty cunning, though. They just push us to a point, then they back off and disappear for a while. So we forget about it, and we go back to worrying about important things like who's going to slow jam with Jimmy Fallon tonight. Maybe President Obama will. He's certainly not paying attention to what's going on in the world in between the Golf Channel and the Tonight Show. Or is it late night? Whatever Jimmy Fallon's on, I can't keep track of it anymore. So these guys are hauled in. Then the Iranians interview Lieutenant Nartka, make a video. And frankly, this video is just disgraceful. Yeah, I'm going to play this right now. It's only about a minute. You can hear it again.
Okay, could you tell me what was your departure and also destination?
Departure was Bahrain. Departure was Kuwait. Destination was Bahrain.
What matter that you penetrated in Iran territorial water?
It was a mistake. That was our fault, and we apologize for our mistake.
In your GPS, right, in GPS track, it is completely that you have penetrated to Iran territorial water?
I believe so.
You believe, but why you have penetrated to Iran territorial water?
It was a misunderstanding. We did not mean to go into Iranian territorial water.
How Iranian patrol boats capture you? Could you tell me since first how the Iranian patrol boat captured you?
The Iranian patrol boat came out when we were having engine issues and had weapons drawn, so we tried to talk to them until more boats came out and took us in.
Okay, Captain, during this time that you were here in this place, how was the Iranian behavior with you?
Iranian behavior was fantastic while we were here. We thank you very much for your hospitality and your assistance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The behavior. The Iranians were fantastic. The food was great. The beverages were fantastic. The pina colada was outstanding. The rice kabsa was spectacular. I mean, what the heck are they teaching these people in the Navy? This guy sounds like he was a club med for the weekend with his crew. The Iranians are the enemy. You were taken prisoner, you idiot. And you basically have disgraced the United States Navy and your own country. Even John Kerry was shocked over this one. I mean, it takes a lot to get Kerry off his road bike to pay attention to this. Even Kerry, as a former naval officer, I think his jaw was dropping. Frankly, Narkov should be court-martialed. He should be court-martialed. He violated also, besides Article 2, Article 5 of the Military Code of Conduct. One question, should I become a prisoner of war? I am required to give my name, rank, and serial number, and date of birth. I will evade answering further questions to the utmost of my ability. I will make no oral or written statements disloyal to my country and its allies or harmful to their cause. I say he needs to be court-martialed. And I don't know what the heck is going on in the military. Obviously, sensitivity training, physical training and pregnancy simulators, you know, making sure that we're all touchy-feely and peace and granola, and we're all singing kumbaya. That's more important than learning about how to be in the military these days and how to fight wars. A U.S. Navy in the past would have chewed up those Iraqis like they were Iranians like they were bubble gum. It would have taken a couple rounds from that 50 cal to sink those Iranian patrol boats. There's no aggressiveness. There's no fighting spirit. There's no knowledge of your job. There's no knowledge of the code of conduct. This guy went to Annapolis, too. He's a Naval Academy graduate. As far as I'm concerned, they can throw the book at him and put him in Leavenworth for a couple of years. It's a disgrace. It really is. They can court-martial Malone on Article 5 violation. Article 2, he might be able to get away with because some idiot told him probably to surrender. Because what's the military for? I mean, you know, it's just for surrendering to the Iranians. What is an absolute disgrace. And guess what? The Iranians, if I find this story today, you think the Iranians have a lot of respect for the Americans? Here's what the Iranians said. This is from an officer, high-ranking officer in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. I saw the weakness, cowardice, and fear of American soldiers myself. Despite having all the weapons and equipment, they surrendered themselves with the first action of the Guardians of Islam. Ahmad Dolabi, an Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps commander. Well, has probably a couple stars on his shoulders. Said this at a prayer service in Iran's Bushehr Province. American forces receive the best training and have the most advanced weapons in the world, but they did not have the power to confront the guard due to weakness of faith and belief. Unbelievable. We gave all the weapons and equipment to American forces according to Islamic manner. They formally apologized to the Islamic Republic. Unbelievable. Disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. And what else do you expect from the Obama administration except more disgraceful conduct? The military is in big trouble. Big, big trouble. There's a lot of great people in the military, but they're being led astray by feckless fools in the White House. Join me tomorrow on the Ray Starman Show at the same time, 1 p.m. for an hour broadcast. I'll see you tomorrow.